fascinating talk this morning, Don, about trends coming not only on the farm with technology, mechanization, and all these things which farmers are always attuned to, but also on the consumer side, which is going to have a lot of impact on how we produce food and how we market that food. You might just give us a capsule of maybe what's coming in an overview sense.
Sure. There's a number of factors that are coalescing here. First of all, you know, technology is changing the way we shop. We're shopping in more places than we ever have before, between the traditional grocery stores to farmers markets to shopping online to buying food in even drugstores and such. And then the sources of those foods are changing as well. We're seeing a big push or investment from capital sources to invest in what people are calling controlled environment ag, which is these regional ag solutions, be it in warehouses, greenhouses and such, aquaponic, hydroponic and so forth, conventional, organic. And so we're seeing our food is going to be sourced locally more than it ever has before. And then you've got this shifting consumer. You know, the millennial consumer is significantly different than the generation that preceded it, where our generation, you know, I'm in my 50s, and our generation, the generation before me and after me, weren't that dissimilar to what we do. What I did is, or how I shop, but this there's a game changing going on with the millennial because of the advent of technology and how they're deploying it, and their interest in food and sustainability and who their producers are and their value system.
You know, when you talk about technology on the farm and producing food in different ways, some of the follow-up speakers to you gave some ideas about some of that technology, hydroponics, but even taking old warehouses and making full farms under roof. I mean, you know, looking at the citrus industry, a lot of citrus packing houses, tomato packing houses sitting there vacant, those could actually be farms under roof in the future, it looks like.
Potentially. I think there's two driving factors. One is the proximity of that farm to a population base. If you're going to put, if you can put it in a warehouse, and you're not required to think about the climate, if you will, the outdoor climate, then you want to put it near a population base. Secondly, the other driving factor here is the explosion or the rapid increase in freight rates. You know, freights, you know, nearly doubled in price cross country in the last 5 years. So it makes the economics to grow things closer to the population base much more viable. And that's a key driving factor in this whole thing. So we'll see a lot more in the Midwest and even more in the East. We have several out in the West here, but we're competing with, we don't have the freight advantage in the West. If you're growing in LA and it's coming out of the San Joaquin Valley, it's not that significantly different.
You know, when we look at the future, farmers have always been innovators, but it's, you know, for years it's been bigger is better, the smaller guy gets squeezed out, but it sounds like in population areas that can produce farm products, like Florida, Southeast, climate, you know, with temperate climates like that, maybe it's an opportunity for small farms to resurge again with the urbanites being so close to sell to.
Possibly. I think there's an opportunity for innovators to play here. You know, we saw our speaker, Jim Pantaleo, from Urban Farms here. It didn't come out of agriculture. He's not a small farmer. He came out of technology. And he's operating a greenhouse or an indoor farm, a vertical farm in Irvine. We're seeing a lot of those solutions around the country. The people that are running them are not necessarily came up from the agricultural side, although there may be people in their operation with agricultural experience. It's truly an opportunity. It's a new day in terms of who enters our space, and I think that makes it really exciting. And there's certainly room for the farmer. I have a lot of love for the small farmer. I do a lot of work with them. But I think you're seeing a whole new age of people that are coming to the space with ideas. You take Minneapolis, for example. 5 years ago, we had no leaf lettuce grown locally. And as of this week, we have four companies providing leaf lettuce or leafy greens to the Minneapolis market, both retail and food service, that are in some sort of controlled environment ag. Now, some of those won't survive, but reality is it's exciting to see. There might be some consolidation. We've still got the economics of who can do it more efficiently, who can do it more effectively. The principles of business are still going to apply. So I'm excited. It's a great time to be in the industry.
And, of course, the population growth projections are pretty fantastic looking, too, looking toward 2050. I guess that's pushing a big deal. How are people going to eat as we grow and need more food?
Without a doubt, especially as you look around the world. You know, China is a very large country, as an example, but has significantly less arable land than other parts of the world. So the indoor ag solution for them, as an example, our largest country in the world population-wise, is pretty exciting. They're looking at hundreds of vertical or indoor farms. We have a lot of opportunity here in North America, U.S. Specifically, but it's a great you know, you think about trying to feed the more challenged parts of our population globally, you know, economically challenged parts of our population, it's exciting that we could have solutions for them.
What am I not asking that the growers out there listening to this might be interested to hear from you that I didn't ask?
Well, I think the message I would send is that, you know, there's still a great need for agricultural expertise, but the models are changing, and it's changing in a way it never has before. It's not a mild evolution. It's a right turn or a left turn, and I would encourage them to really look forward in terms of how the consumer's behavior is shopping, is changing, and what the requirements of supply chain are going to be, and try to find solutions for that. It's not about just buying more acreage and planting more seed and harvesting and packing. It's much more complex than it was 5 or 10 years ago.
Excellent. Don Goodwin, Golden Sun Marketing. Appreciate you very much. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it.